Flyer lady. Flyer. Very lovely, and so were the flyers. Turn with me, if you would, to hymn number 109. Now, some of you are familiar with this one. It's often been sung as the offering is brought forward. But I'm going to read you the words, and then the ladies are going to play, and we're going to sing through it one time, just because. 109 says, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures, here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Now, folks, if that hurricane does go away that we've been so anticipating, I think we need to thank God for it, that he steered it in opposite directions. So, ladies, if you'll sing, lead that for us, and we'll just sing. Praise God. In the third chapter of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul continues to go on. Now, I've written in the bulletin, start with verse 12. I want to start with verse 10, actually. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." And he goes on, "Not that I have already obtained this, nor have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which is Christ Jesus took hold of me." Lord God, give us your strength and blessing. May we strive not to be like Paul, but to be like Jesus, who tried to serve Christ and be like him. May we continue to strive to serve Jesus by helping others and teaching and sharing the love of Jesus, by letting others know of the good news and helping them in time of sorrow and of grief and of need. Be with the speaker this day. Give him the right words. Be with the men and women in foreign fields, in the mission fields, in the military, those who are in public service, those who are the first responders, those who take care of us. And bless those who now stand in the way of this horrible weather condition. Guide us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paul says, "I want to be like Jesus, but I'm not there yet." Now, there's a television show called American Idol. I don't know if you've ever watched it. I'm not sure what happens because I don't understand it. Even when I watch it, I don't understand all of it. Have you ever had an idol? I'm not talking about the gold jewelry, and I'm talking about a person who you've tried to be like. It may have been a teacher, a ball coach. It may have been an actor or a singer. Whatever it is somebody you really aspire to be like. Paul says, "I aspire to be like Jesus. The only problem is I can't attain it because Jesus was the Savior of the world. Yes, he gave his body and his blood for our salvation." Now, Paul was willing to die for Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's pretty well assured. We know that he was beaten. He was arrested, he was shipwrecked, he was put in prison, and probably died very possibly on a cross in Rome anyway years later. But he could never be Jesus. Because Paul, in all of what he did in his life, was still a sinner. A forgiven sinner, we will agree. Where Jesus, upon that cross, went there as a perfect being, never to have sinned against God or man. So all we can try to do is what Paul tried to do, is to emulate Christ, to serve others, to stay away from sin, and then because of Jesus, because of what we read in our communion meditation, because of his death on the cross, his crucifixion, because of his burial and then resurrection, defeating Satan, we can be made perfect in the eyes of God. And that's a lot to say. because God expects perfection. But he makes allowances for his children. And when we fail him, we don't flunk out of. Did you ever fail a class? Or miss the test? Or you take your driver's test? I failed my driver's test the first time. He said, do what you're supposed to do. And I pulled up, and there was a stop sign. He said, now go forward. And I didn't. Well, if the cop says go forward, he didn't really mean for me to stop. So I went right on through that four-way stop. Turn right, turn right, turn right. Well, is that all it takes? Yeah, you failed it when you ran the track, the stop sign. I didn't want to say, well, it's what you told me to do. It didn't work. Sometimes we may be given bad information by others. We need to look and qualify that information. There are a lot of false prophets today. There are a lot of people who will come with you with trickery. Words that sound wonderful. Just reading an article this week about L. Ron Hubbard. You ever heard of L. Ron Hubbard? Scientology. Now, some of you may be familiar with that, and some of you say, what? Is that Star Wars stuff? No, he did not write Star Wars, because Star Wars is the least believable. The stuff that he talked about was not. But he led a lot of people astray and drained them of money and their families. And there are a lot of people out there today doing that, which we have to filter out of our lives and of our churches. In doing so, once again, we put Jesus first. And that's what Paul suggests that we do. Matter of fact, that's what Paul hopes that we do. That's what Paul commands. All we need to do is put Jesus first. I've not already done this. I'm not perfect. But I press on, I go forward, I take every effort I do to make the good things happen. Too often, way too often, we fail because we quit trying to do it. Now, I was born a short, skinny child, but I was premature. After that, I caught up really quick. And I've always been short and not always a child. So as football, they made us get into another sport. Well, I said, I'm going to get into track. I was too slow to run the sprints, so they put me in the half mile. After I got lapped by the other guys that were running the half mile, I thought, should I quit or should I go? I finished, and I was finished too. The coach said the best job for me would either be the one that catches the javelins or the one that catches the shot puts and discs when they come. In other words, you don't belong on this team. You know, he was right. It was time to get out of it. But I proved to myself I could finish that tough half mile. And folks, if you've never run a half mile with people that are really good, you have not met embarrassment. They kept hollering, man on the court, man on the field, man on the track, get out of the way. Don't give up. It may get tough. It shall be tough. If Satan doesn't attack you for what you're doing, maybe you're not doing the right things. Paul said, press on. I do not consider, Paul says, myself yet to have taken hold of it. That means the perfectness of following Christ. I'm still trying. Now, if the Apostle Paul, seriously, he wrote us half of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, who started churches all over Asia Minor. The Apostle Paul, who gave such great advice. The Apostle Paul, who was willing to die upon the cross because Jesus was as well. If he said, I haven't gotten there yet, we should not pretend to think we've gotten there. Where is there? Well, I kind of think it refers maybe back to John, the second chapter. 14th chapter, second verse. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go there to prepare a place for you. And where I go, there ye may be also. I think that's when we've got it made. When we've joined him in heaven. Up till then, life is going to be a struggle. And that's from a guy that went out and bought six cases of water this week. And that's from a guy that he and his wife went over and loaded 8 bags. They must weigh 700 pounds apiece. Because that's what my back feels like right now. Of sand at the fire department that lay in front of our driveway. That's the guy that has daily fights, struggles. It's hard to do the right thing, but it's far more rewarding than the easy way. And Paul says, I understand that. So I'm not there yet, Paul says. Neither are any of us. And we won't be there until Jesus grabs us and wraps his arms around us and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's when it's done. The battle continues to go. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But it wouldn't be worth anything. So we've got a battle. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwardly in Christ Jesus. And we should press on as well. You ever undertaken a project? I don't know, some of you may be craftsmen and women. Some of you may be knitters or sewers or crocheters or even working sukidoo. Does anybody work sukidoo? Is that possible? Is level gold really possible to do? I think they missed the numbers on purpose. Because I don't think they want anybody to be good at sukidoo. And I'm one of them that, you know, I can fill out the first five sections really easy. And I can get at least two words on the New York Times paper in ink, the first two words. But there's a lot of spaces on the end of them. We don't always get what we want, but we should never quit trying, is what Paul is saying. And I think he comes from a pretty good source. All of us, oh, now see, this is the bad, this has got a qualifier. All of us who are mature, do you ever look around and try to find who in this bunch is mature? Is he talking because we've got a little gray mixed in with the gold? Or a little flesh mixed in with the hair? Is that mature? Is it mature because we walk with a walker or a cane or a limp? No, mature is not an age process. It's a developmental process. Making the right choices for the right reason, to do the right thing, to help the right people. And for all of us who are mature, Paul says, should take such a view of things that we're just on the way there. And anybody who you may think they're a phenom, I mean, look at how many of these child actors, all the way back to the little Cooper boy and the guy that plays Spanky and all those child actors, as they got older, it sort of just, they're gone. Couldn't handle prosperity. Most of our television actors, a lot of our musicians, very young and very good at first, didn't make it, weren't mature enough to handle it. The guy from, the screaming guy from Macaulay Culkin. Well, that's enough on that one. He says this, and if on some point you think differently, that to God will make clearly for you. You ever have a, oh, what was I thinking about moment? Sometimes that may be God just saying, listen, you're looking at it wrong. You're going about it wrong. Somebody gave you some advice that's going to help you out or show you that way. God doesn't want us to fail. When I taught the college level, first day of school, I'd have kids that come in and say, it is my belief that every one of you all are straight A students. Prove me wrong. I gave them a chance to prove that I was right. Most of them decided they liked that challenge better than the threat of failing them. And they worked hard. I said, prove me wrong. God's saying, I love you. You're my child. Prove me wrong. Don't go in the direction I want you to do. Don't do the things you're supposed to do. Do the things you're not supposed to do. We so often take the easy road out. Don't prove him wrong. Prove him right. That we are his children that love him. Only let us live up to what we've already obtained. He's talking to the Christians. They got salvation, but someone wanted to give it away. Life wasn't as much fun. Their friends were doing more, having better times, getting more involved in things they should not have been involved in, and they fell away. Salvation was ours at the point of baptism and good confession, but yet we choose not to take advantage of it. Paul says, don't do that. Join with others in the following example. Brothers, take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul has given them in different letters. And see, in his epistles, epistle means letter, Paul would write the letters and they would take them around to different churches. It wasn't just sent to the church of Philippi, but Philippi would take a copy and go somewhere else, and it was spread around. He's given us the information.
Peter gave us the information. Matthew gave us the information. Mark and Luke, John gave us the information. So they knew what they were to do. If they fail to do it, it is their fault, not by the lack of the knowledge of what to do. When I first came down here, I took some tests to get my contractor's license. And I thought, well, I've been a contractor for 40-some years. This ought to be easy. Until I saw an example of a test, I thought, you're shaking your head, Gary. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? This ain't all that easy. You better study and get prepared. And what you think came naturally doesn't always mean it's what they want to know about you. Well, God knows who you are, but he wants to know about you, what you are and what you're going to do. And he gives us that opportunity. Live according to the pattern we gave you. What did he teach? Love, compassion, concern, faithfulness, strength under pressure. He showed us all these things. And for good reason. It gets us in the right direction. But he helps us to go the way we're supposed to go. Failure is never imminent. Failure should never be desired. Success is what we strive for. I dearly loved my grandfather. I was only 9 when he died. But I spent most of those 9 years with him and my papa and my mama. One time I said, Papa, I can't do that. He said, Boy, Kent died and his wife married a can. It took me about 3 years to figure out. I said, why would his wife marry a tin can? No, his wife married somebody that was positive and strived to do it and knew that by the help of Christ, if it was going to be done, it would be done. The Spirit would be with him. And I think we should be a can church. We should be can individuals. We should strive to can everything that we do because we can be successful with the help of God. Oh, he says this, for as often as I've told you before, and I say it again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. It seems to become more and more popular to make fun of Jesus and Christians today in the press, in the media, in politics, I may say, all these things. Should that depress us? Yes. We should be depressed that those people don't know the truth that we know. And we should strive to teach them and live the life so they can see by our example why they are wrong in accusing Christians as they do. That's the only reason we should be depressed, that they don't understand the good news. We never go to a restaurant, a new restaurant, the first week or two. Because they haven't figured out what they're doing. But when we get somebody that's been there that's recommended to us, we'll go try it out. Because they've gone before us. And they tell us, well, this is really good. Or they may say, this is really bad. We say, thank you very much. We'll waste our time there. That's happened as well. Look to others who've been successful in serving. That's what Paul is saying. Their destiny, those who live as enemies of the cross, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly citizenship, on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Think about some of your friends, maybe even some of your close friends. Some of you have gone to family reunions or college reunions, high school reunions lately. And look about your friends and say, how many of these people believe, act, think the way I do now? Well, we may have been close 40, 50, 60 years ago, but how close are we now? And which of us changed? Well, hopefully we are the ones that changed for the better, not them changing for the worse. But look around. Who do you associate yourself with? Who are your BFF, best friends forever. Who are your BFFers? If your BFFers is somebody that's going to drag you down, maybe you better G-O-T, that's not goat, G-O,
A-W-A-Y, there you go, go away. You see, we can be drugged down. The old country saying is, and I don't know, I never told y'all I come from the country, but the old country saying is, you can't lie down with dogs and not wake up with fleas. That's a gross thought, but you know, it can happen. And if you go around with people of bad habits that do and say and act badly, you're going to pick it up. Whether intentionally or not, it's just the way human beings are. We're better than that. And should not be ashamed that we are better than that. Let me tell you what. Becky does a lot of typing for me. She can knock out a page in about two blinks. It takes me about 4 minutes to do 10 words. And that doesn't mean it's without corrections either. So I ask her to do it for me. She's better at it. Some of you all sing a whole lot better or play a whole lot better than I do. So I'll let you do it. Some of you bake pies. I didn't say that. We'll go on. Better than I can eat them. Their mind is on earthly things. Our mind should not be on earthly things. Earthly things are temporary. If you don't believe that, watch the news from what's happened in the hurricanes that are going to happen this week. Watch the news. Charlie, August 13th, 2004. Do you remember what it looked like on 2003 and what it looked like on 2005? Things, earthly things change. We better be prepared, but our mind's on heavenly things. Fires can take down a building in a second. A flood can take down a building. A hurricane can take down a building. An automobile accident can tear up a vehicle or tear up a body. We've got to focus on the heavenly things because that's where the real hope and process and production is. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, comma, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in the Old Testament that he's going to be sent to us. We see it in the New Testament as he was sent to us. We see it in the book of Acts, the first chapter. After Jesus had addressed the 12 apostles, he rose up into heaven, just rose into the clouds. Two men dressed in white, representing angels, we wouldn't know that, said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus which you sent us all go up will return to you one day." The second coming of Christ. Strongly believe in that. Hoping for with every hope in my heart that it happens. Fairly soon, actually. The Lord Jesus, who by the power enables him to bring everything under his control. Christ is from heaven. He's coming back and to grab a hold of us. And will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Now, I don't know the full extent of that. I don't know that we'll each have hands with nail scars in them. Or feet with nail scars in them. But if so, we should be proud of it. I don't know that we'll have scars from that crown of thorns on our forehead. But if so, we should be proud of it. I don't know that we'll have those stripes across our back, where he's beaten by the cat of nine tails, by those mean, very professional and good at what they did, Roman soldiers and executors. But I guess we should be proud of that as well. Or it may mean we'll have a translated body that'll be all spirit and no longer worry about the physical flesh and be concerned about that. And that would be good as well. Whatever it will be, I promise you this. It will be as Christ wants it to be, and it will be for our benefit. He said, "What father whose child asks for a loaf of bread will give him a stone?" He said, "What father whose son asks for a fish will give him a scorpion or a serpent to eat?" And of course, a loving father would not do that. And I have to believe. Matter of fact, I'm going to read a verse to you. I'm not sure any of y'all have read this verse before, but I'm going to read it. I'll read it right out of the book. I won't even be making it up or nothing. It's in the New Testament. It's kind of important. It's in here it is, maybe. You'd think I would have it marked since I like it. Oh, yeah, I do have it marked. It reads like this. "For God so loved the world." There's that word love in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That means Jesus. That whomsoever believes in him will not perish, but everlasting life. A father who loves his child will give him bread, not a stone. A father who loves his child will give him fish, not a serpent or a snake. A father who loves his child, who is obedient to him, will give him everlasting life. Not my words, but his. If you're outside the realm and don't feel like you've completely served God by giving your life over to him and working for him every day as he's worked for us every day, I'll give you the chance and the opportunity right now as we stand and sing our hymn of the station and decision. Hymn number 249. 249. Stand with me as Carolyn leads us in 249.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.